Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. On this last Sunday, I talked about getting ready for Lent. And I'm sure you all spent the last couple of days scurrying around trying to get yourself ready based on my advice. Well, today is Ash Wednesday, and ready or not, today is the first day of Lent. So here we go. Now, I'm assuming again that you took my advice and you're got ready, or you're still maybe getting ready. So let me ask you, what are you going to do? What are you going to do for the next 40 days that you haven't done for the last 40 days? How does a good Christian make it through the journey of Lent, through the 40 days of Lent? Perhaps some of you have decided that you would give something up for Lent. Others might say, well, only Catholics do that. Some would say, well, I'm going to fast. And others would say, well, nobody fasts anymore. That's an Old Testament thing. We don't need to do that. Now, as I look around, I notice that no one is here in sackcloth. You are here in ashes, and that's a good thing. So I ask that question again. What are you going to do differently? What are you going to do differently in the next 40 days that you haven't done over the last 40 days? If you don't know the answer to that question, it's partially my fault, because Sunday I should have told you what kinds of things you could do. I didn't, and so I accept responsibility for that. You might think it's reasonable the answer to those questions would be found in our texts for tonight. And there are answers there, but I'm a little bit confused when I read them because they seem to be contradictory. So I want to take a look at each of the readings for tonight and see if we can figure out what answers they have for us on what we're going to do for the next 40 days of Lent. As you remember the Old Testament reading from Joel, he is calling for a gathering of people. He says, sound the trumpet, call a fast, and gather all the people together for a solemn meeting. Bring everyone, the elders, the children, even babies. Call the bridegroom from his quarters and call the bride from her privacy. And then he says, the priests and the ministers of God will stand before the altar and they will pray. This reading was written to people in Israel who had fallen away from God. They had gotten into the promised land and then begun to worship idols. And Joel is calling them back to God. And so we too tonight are called back to God. He wants us to take our focus off of the world. He wants us to turn our attention back on God, to renew and to invigorate our faith. And so tonight we gather here at this solemn meeting, and we publicly put ashes on our foreheads and we pray. So why do we put ashes on our foreheads? Ashes symbolize essentially three things. First of all, they symbolize our mortality. In Genesis, after God has thrown Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden, he says to Adam, by the sweat of your brow you shall eat bread until you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Ashes resemble or symbolize our mortality. And ashes also symbolize repentance. In Job, the last chapter of Job 42, Job finally figures out that he's not in control, that God is in control, and that he's made some pretty silly, stupid statements in the process of all of the complaining that he's done. And he has this to say to God. Once he has recognized his error in his thinking, he says, "Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes." And ashes also symbolize humility. It's pretty hard to be proud and arrogant when you're wearing wrinkly and uncomfortable clothing, when you're wearing ill-fitting sackcloth and your head is covered with ashes. Fortunately, we don't cover our head with ashes anymore. We just put them on our forehead symbolically. But that still reminds us of our mortality. It encourages us to repent. It reminds us that Lent is a period of humility, of coming back to God. But a public display of penitence seems contrary to what Jesus was talking about. Remember what he said? "When you give alms, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. When you pray, do so in private so that only God knows what you're praying for. And when you fast, don't walk around with a scowl on your face. Don't let anybody know that you're fasting." That would seem like Jesus wants us to keep all this Lenten stuff under wraps. So what are we supposed to do then for the next 39 days of Lent? The point here is that the season of Lent is a personal time. A personal time of intense prayer and preparation for Christ dying on the cross and being resurrected again on Easter Sunday. In the gospel, Jesus is calling us to do three things. First of all, to give to the needy, to give alms. That's why we have a collection plate out there in the narthex, that we give an offering, and we give that offering to people who need help in this community. So we give alms, we pray. And the second thing we do is to pray. We pray for ourselves by asking for forgiveness, and we pray for others as well. And the third thing that Jesus asks us to do is to either fast or give something up for Lent. It reminds us to deny ourselves and remind ourselves of how Jesus gave himself up, the sacrifice that he gave. Some people fast during Lent and they give something up that they really like. If you fast, you're hungry. And every time your stomach growls, you're reminded of why you're fasting. And if you're fasting during Lent, then that should be reminding you that indeed as you go through Lent, every time you feel that hunger pang, you think about Christ's sacrifice on the cross. Or if you give something up, maybe chocolate, every time you think about, "Oh, I'd like a piece of chocolate," you are reminded to deny yourself. And that's the way that you can remind yourself of all of the things that we've talked about that we need to do in Lent. And so in doing these three things, we give to the needy, we pray, we fast, and we give something up. That's a very personal thing, and I'm not here to tell you which of those you are supposed to do. But I'm here to remind you tonight that Lent is a time of personal preparation. It's not a time to be prideful or showing people how spiritual you are. Lent is a time to return to God, to be reminded of all that he has done for us, to strengthen our faith. Lent is a time for penitence and humility and contrition. And so tonight we publicly acknowledge our mortality, we admit our sinfulness, and we humble ourselves by putting those ashes on our forehead. But there's something else that I want you to remember tonight. And this is perhaps even more important. I want you to remember not only your mortality, but also your immortality. You see, we have put too much focus on the world. We have focused on we have not focused on God as we should. And we need to be reminded of that sacrifice that Christ made that we don't think about often enough. In spite of all of the sinful things that we do, in spite of our personal pride, in spite of our allowing the world to get too close to us, to get too involved in the world, in spite of all the sinfulness that we know that we have, we still will be immortal in eternity. We will live forever in heaven with Christ. We will be immortal because of what he has done on the cross and what he will do in 39 days or so. But we can't fast forward through that period of time. We still must travel through Lent day by day with humble repentance and penitence. Because when we do, when we go through Lent day by day thinking about this, changing our focus, then our faith will be strengthened. And everyone who sees Christ on that cross on Good Friday will have even greater joy on Easter morning. So Lent is a journey from the dust and ashes of today, Ash Wednesday, unto that cross on Good Friday. In our epistle lesson, Paul sums it up. He says, "Behold, now is the favorite time." And I would say, "Behold, today is the day that we begin our Lenten journey." Amen. Please stand for the Ash Wednesday prayer. We pray. Gracious Savior, we fall prostrate at your feet this day as your church once more enters the Lenten season to meditate upon your passion by which you have been eternally, we have been eternally redeemed. In spirit, we appear before you in sackcloth and ashes in true repentance. Let us receive your full pardon. Do not let the pleasures of our life, the worries of the day, and the activities of our daily routine crowd out all of our thoughts and hearts. Draw us to your wounded side and cleanse us with your most precious blood. Bring healing to our souls and peace to our minds. By your grace, let us crucify our sinful affections, lusts, and desires. Make us more than conquerors over every temptation. We confess to you all our sins. Let none of them cling to us. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. Teach us to love you more and more. Give us grace to confess you as our Savior, who has redeemed us on Calvary, lifting us out of the darkness of sin to be your own. Gracious Savior, let your constraining love keep us and all of God's children steadfast to the end. And all of God's people say, Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Returning to the benediction, let us bless the Lord. The Almighty and merciful Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you unto eternal life. Amen.